weekend, the special session hearing on marriage equality heard the majority of testifiers. This morning, the State House will reconvene to hear the 400 or so remaining on the list. One who has already had his say at the hearing and for the last 20 years is former Hawaii Supreme Court Justice Stephen Levinson. And retired Justice Levinson joins us now. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
You know, most people point to you as the guy who sort of kickstarted the whole thing 20 years ago. But it seemed that timing really is everything when you look at how a decision is accepted by the rest of the community. Is that how you assess what happened 20 years ago?
Yes, although I don't think it's quite accurate to say that I kickstarted it. The Hawaii Supreme Court did in the Bear v. Lewin appeal. The decision being filed in 1993, I authored the lead decision in that appeal. And I've been very interested in the subject ever since.
Right. I mean, without discounting the rest of the Supreme Court, and don't mean to do that, but still, it seems in many ways that you've been carrying this flame for 20 years and trying to redirect attention. And we've had other conversations about this, you know, over those years, at least we've been on public radio. Looking at it right now and what the House will be hearing in the rest of the testimony today, which doesn't seem very different from a lot of the arguments that have been heard before. It's just the proportion of them has switched over the years as we've been moving through and as public sentiment has been changing. Do you think that now really is the time that we're going to see the fruition of what you talked about 20 years ago?
I do. A lot has changed since 1993. 14 states around the country, plus the District of Columbia, now legally recognize same-sex marriage, or what's come to be called marriage equality. 15 countries around the world, the latest being England and Wales, passed the bill in Parliament in 2013. The Queen signed off. The law, as I understand it, becomes effective in 2014. And so if you look at the map of the world, or at the globe, most of Western Europe is marriage equality now. Geographically, most of South America is marriage equality now. For that matter, most of North America is marriage equality now. Canada is a much larger country geographically than the United States is, and so Canada combined with the 15 jurisdictions plus much of New Mexico and the rest pretty soon in the United States makes North America a marriage equality continent. South Africa, the former home of apartheid, was the fourth country in the world, or maybe fifth.
Which made it so stunning.
Which made it quite stunning, and South Africa did it legislatively. New Zealand, so Oceania is now involved. So there's a lot of water under the bridge since the Hawaii Supreme Court first ruled that the Hawaii marriage law presumptively violated the state constitution's equal protection clause. And in addition to that, Hawaii has now recognized civil unions, giving same-sex couples a status that recognizes the importance of loving, committed relationships there. The state has afforded to same-sex couples already all of the rights and benefits that the state is capable of doing. And so really the only question at this point is whether there's a rational basis for not taking that final step and giving same-sex couples the label of marriage rather than a separate but supposedly equal status of civil union, and giving those couples an opportunity to take advantage of all the rights and benefits that the federal government confers only upon married couples. And in addition to that, there's the societal dignitary interest that same-sex couples have in being afforded the same respect and dignity that other opposite sex loving and committed couples do.
On the flip side of the argument, those who are against it and who said that this violates religious freedom, according to the way the bill is written now, obviously there is protection for those who would be officiating at a wedding if they decide that this is not something that they can do. If a church says this is not what we're going to do, and if you're going to rent our facility, you're going to have to use the person who we would designate here to officiate at it, and therefore that would take sort of that out. But there's also the business about accommodating people who would be involved in facilitating the wedding, other people who would be involved in the ceremony itself, whether it would be a baker or the wedding planner or those. Now, the AG has said that SB 1 as it exists now is just fine in protecting religious freedoms. He's not really liking the idea of broadening that to encompass some of these other people who might be involved. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think it's important to remember that the subject matter of SB 1, marriage equality, equal rights, really has nothing to do with religious freedom in and of itself. Affording same-sex couples access to the status of marriage in no way affects my marriage or anybody else's. Where the question of religious freedom enters in, as you indicate, Beth Ann, is in the intersection
between commerce and religion.
That's right. What SB 1 now says, and what the civil union law said, was that officiants, clergy, don't have to marry anyone they don't want to. And in any event, that's a freedom that's afforded to marriage officiants by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution,
right,
and by the Hawaii Constitution.
Forgive me, in the interest of time, but for those people who would be involved and who say, as a matter of conscience, I can't do this, should that also be protected under SB 1 if we're to be massaged a little?
What SB 1 says is that religious institutions don't have to participate in the solemnization or celebration of same-sex marriages unless they are also businesses like other businesses.
Right. But the part about the people who would be the support of those, that's what I'm trying to get at. So if you have someone who is a wedding planner or a baker or other person who'd be involved in facilitating this wedding, should they have their rights to abstain from being involved with this, because obviously they are in commerce and we say that, you know, there is public accommodation, should they also be allowed to say simply, no, I'm out?
That's really a question of policy for the legislature to determine. At the moment, the public accommodations law does not permit people in commerce, in business, from discriminating on the basis of sexual orientation, and for wedding planners and bakers to refuse to service same-sex couples would involve discrimination based on sexual orientation. I think the legislature is considering that question and ultimately will make the decision as to whether it's the legislature is going to water down or dilute the public accommodations law.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Retired Justice Levinson's 40 years of legal experience included 17 years in private practice and another 17 years as an Associate Justice of the Hawaii Supreme Court. During his tenure, he authored 271 published opinions. 231 of them were the published opinions of the court, and in 1993 included the first appellate decision in American history to hold that a state's marriage laws were presumptively unconstitutional and discriminatory because they prohibited same-sex couples from marrying.